Good morning. My name is Anthony, if you don't know me. And I have a quick question for everybody. Who in here has a cell phone? If you have a cell phone, raise your hand. Even a dumb phone, a cell phone. All right, if you have one of the pastor's number in your phone, raise your hand. If you have, I feel like my price is right. If you have two numbers in your phone, raise your hand. Two of their numbers. If you have all three pastors' number in your phone, raise your hand. Now look around. The majority of the church is raising their hand. They have three numbers, three of the pastor's number in their phone. If you've called one of the pastors in the last 3 months, raise your hand. If you've just called them or texted them. If you've called two of them or texted them, raise your hand. All three. That's still a good number of people. Think about how blessed we are as a congregation to have our pastor's numbers in our phones. On speed dial. It's on the back of the bulletin. It's not a fake number. Dusty didn't give you some random number. On the back of the bulletin is his number. You call that number and Dusty answers the phone.
Hello?
And you get that Dusty laugh. Or Dane, I can't do a Dane impression or a Rick impression. Real quick, when Noah was less than a year old, somewhere in there, he had pneumonia, went to the hospital. Less than a week later, he had to go to the hospital again. He had a high fever, like 104 degrees. The middle of the night, it's close to midnight. Someone in our family, either Gail or Miss Bev, called Dane, Rick, and Dusty. And all three of them showed up at the hospital in the pediatric unit in the emergency room and sat there with us, two brand new parents that are scared out of our minds because our baby is in the hospital again. And two of the wives showed up as well. The other one was out of town. I don't remember which one it was. I'm not calling anybody out. But three of the pastors that we have dropped their everything they had at a moment's notice, came to the hospital and sat with us, told stories, told jokes. Dusty did what Dusty does. And we are blessed because of that. We are blessed by them. And as a congregation, as a whole, we are blessed by our pastors every single day, every minute. Because if you don't see them every day, they're thinking about you every day. They're praying for you every day. Maybe not by name because there's a lot of us in here, but they're praying for our church as a whole. So, having said all that, we have some gifts we'd like to give Dane, Rick, and Dusty. If you'll come to the front, please. Dane, Rick, and Dusty. Dusty, Rick, and Dane. Come on. And the wives.
Hey, Anthony.
Yes?
Anthony, are these lovely parting gifts or just gifts?
They're just gifts. They are appreciation gifts.
I was just wondering.
A mix between Drew Carey and Vanna White. It's kind of scary. Is Miss Audrey in the back? Okay.
This one's heavy.
We have these lovely baskets, one for the Smiths, Rick and Regina.
Thank you.
One for Dane and Kathy, the Moores, and one for the Reynolds.
The Moops.
And Miss Terry is going to talk about a poster.
Okay, I'm just seeing this the same time you are. Hold that up. There we go. Okay, I think the Cerrone kids made this. Is that right? Is this yours, Brianna? Yes? Okay, this is what it says. Dear Dusty, Rick, and Dane, your service to the Lord rocks. You are like God's three musketeers, sharing the lifesavers of his truth and love like sweet sugar and a bit of honey. You don't preach fiddle faddle, smiley face. You dedicate our babies and walk with us when our lives seem nuts, like a circus, and we hit a sour patch. You remind us our heavenly pop and daddy walks with us. We hit the biggest payday when God brought us to you. In all the Milky Way, we're blessed to have you as our shepherds, and this is filled with mounds of love and extra thanks for all you do. That is awesome. Good job, Brianna.
I get a little thing here. I don't know what you call this, but you know, like when you see things on a board, it says pastor, and each letter stands for something. I don't know what that's called, but acronym, it's a thing. Anyway, I thought this was pretty good. The P is for praying. You know, these guys do that for us every day. A is administering. S is for serving. T is teaching. O is open-hearted, and R is reassuring. You know, these guys, everybody in here, they are your number two fan. Your number one fan is Jesus, who wants you to be all that you can be for him, you know, and wants you to grow for him. And these guys and their gals that are beside them, bless them. We thank you. We love you guys and gals. And, you know, there's not enough people here. I just thinking that. I was at Parker's this week and stopped there to use the bathroom before a meeting that I had, and I was thirsty, so I got a Coke. And when I walked outside the building, there was a guy who was in there, and we just kind of looked at each other. Hey, how you doing? Good. Didn't know who he was. And we both walked out at the same time, kind of got to the door. We're like, you know, one of those awkward things. No, go ahead. And I said, yeah, sure. Age before beauty, right? And so he let me go first. And he just looked at me and says, hey, are you from Savannah? A guy, I'd never seen him in my life. And I said, is you visiting? I said, no, I live here. He said, oh, okay, I was going to invite you to church. I said, well, what church? And he told me, and I forgot. I said, well, no, I said, you know, been going to the Sycamore. It's right 52nd Street. You know, it was the Parkers that was right up here on Victory Drive. I said, yeah, church up here. I said, hey, man, I said, you're a good Christian brother. I said, inviting, total stranger. So it just got me thinking, when's the last time I invited somebody? You know, what if everybody in here invited one person a week? I don't know if that guy does that every day or if it's like it's his goal to do that once a week or once a month or whatever. I just thought it was pretty cool. Total complete stranger. It wasn't weird to me at all. You know, he just said, hey, man, where do you go to church? And or, you know, are you in town? Are you local or whatever like that? And it was totally natural, but it just got me thinking. I guess maybe it got me convicted. when's the last time I've invited somebody to church? So, because this is, you know, it's a building that we meet in, but we are the church. And, you know, these guys, we love you. Thank you. Thank you for what you do.
All right, so in closing, it's Pastor Appreciation Sunday, in case you didn't notice. So make sure that the pastors and the wives and their families, because it takes a lot to be a preacher's kid, make sure they all know how much we appreciate them, because we do. We appreciate you guys. So make sure you give them a hug and a handshake and give Dusty a kiss on the cheek. And remember, mostly importantly, remember them in prayer this week, every day. You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. So remember your pastors without ceasing, every day, every minute. And thank you. Let's give it one big round of applause. There you go.
How's everybody today? If you're a believer in Jesus, I'm going to show you. This is how he measures them, right? Is that how God measures us?
No.
Well, let's see. All right, here we go. Let's measure somebody else here. All right. Anybody else? You want to be measured? Let's measure. All right, let's see. Is this the way God measures us?
No.
How does he measure us?
Up and down.
Up and down. Up and down. How does he measure? Right. How does he measure all that stuff? What is that, Will, when you talk about our spirit and how much we love him, what would one word be that you could describe that? Jimmy?
Oil. Oil?
Somebody, one word. All of those things he's talking about is about our relationship with him. Listen to this verse. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. God wants us to grow up in him, so that means we're gonna look like him. Just like some of you look like your parents when you grow up. They can see Jeremiah, you look like your mom and daddy. Will, you look like your mom and daddy. And the older you get, you too, Jackson. You look just like your daddy, Jimmy. Just like your daddy. And so our Heavenly Father wants us to grow up to look like him. And as we live our lives, he wants to change us to look just like him. So as we measure up, it isn't with a tape measure, but it's with our love and our relationship with him, how much we're committed to him in our lives. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for these children. I pray today your blessing on them. And I pray, Lord, according to Luke 2:52, they will grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Amen. All righty, y'all can go to Kids Zone. I can see a little bit of your mama in you, Jimmy. We don't have Art Linkletter here, but... And some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But as usual, a lot of things you don't know what I'm talking about. Thank you for those wonderful gifts today. But thank you most of all for your love and your prayer that we feel every day, pastors of this church. God's given us the privilege to serve Him in these days and at this time. Last several weeks we've been talking about that it's time to pay attention. And I hope you will just thumb back through the news and look at all the things that have happened since I preached that first message, what has happened in the world. I gave you a list, but even the list I gave you at the beginning couldn't begin to describe everything that has gone on since then. God is trying to get our attention today. He wants to speak a word to us. He wants to speak to us specifically today. Now, title of today's message is Time to Pay Attention to Your Relationship with Jesus. Now, you get distracted. How many of you have been looking at your cell phone and run off the road? Come on now. All right. How many of you have been walking while texting or talking on your cell phone and run into something? Okay. All right. How many of you have been to a restaurant and there you're there with another person and you're there to have, you know, you're going to have a talk with them or to spend time together, but right over their left shoulder is a TV screen. And you find yourself looking at the TV screen instead of looking at them. Anybody? Me and Miss Audrey go into a restaurant. I know if they've got it on ESPN and they're running scores on the bottom, it's like a magnet. And she'll say something. You're looking right through me right now. How many of you have been sitting in a class and instead of paying attention to what that professor or teacher was trying to provide for you, your mind was somewhere else? Okay. All right. Those are all distractions. And we can have all kinds of distractions in our lives. All right, John, get up our next picture there. You know, this is what Jesus... I tried to find a picture. There was a time in my life when I'd have never put a picture like that up in my faith tradition. But I want you to see, we're such visual people. This is what Jesus desires with us on a daily basis. And if you look in the picture, that there are just all sorts of things in that picture that shows His desire. Here's this young man, obviously is on the road. He's traveling. He's traveling life's road. And here, Jesus is in rapt attention as to everything he is saying. It's a serene picture. It just kind of puts you in a mood of, wow, to have Jesus' attention like that. Let me ask you, does Jesus desire that for you on a daily basis? In prayer, can you go to that place with him? A lot of distractions to keep you away from Jesus and away from any kind of relationship with him. What happens every time that you begin to pray, or that you open your Bible, or you start planning to come to a worship service, or to go to a life group meeting or something? What happens every time? We all have the same opportunity. What happens? Is there a distraction that comes? You better believe it. Now, is that there by accident? Do those things just accidentally happen? We do all these other things during the day, and yet when it comes to things that would, where we would have a relationship with Jesus, there comes a distraction. Now, we'll read the balance of the passage that we looked at last week. And remember, in Acts 2, you know, Peter has stood up to preach. He has given us an overview of history. But he begins in talking about it with the future. Goes future, present, and past. And he gives us this picture of how things ought to be and how that it's all about what it comes down to in verse 36. Therefore, all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, that is Jesus, both Lord and Christ, and this Jesus whom you crucified. So all of his sermon, everything that his sermon is about Jesus and about his plan and his purpose for our lives. Now, let me read this the balance of this passage to you. The scripture says then, Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children, even to the Gentiles and all who have been called by the Lord our God. And then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And those who believed what Peter said were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 in all. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and the prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day. They met in the homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while praising God, enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved. It's a beautiful picture of the beginning of the church. It's time to pay attention. That passage said, and Peter's words. It began with a faithful servant who was there to obediently share the word. After we receive Jesus in our lives, what becomes our mission? That others would receive Jesus in their lives and grow in Him, to grow up in Him and be part of His plan in the earth. He was faithful. He was faithful. What if that day Peter had not been faithful? What if he had not stood up? Then the scripture says, his words pierced their hearts. Here's Peter. Here's God doing His work. God's there. Obviously, the Holy Spirit has come. He's doing His thing. And Peter is cooperating with God. But there's a third part that had to happen for anything to change. You can't just have those two parts for anything to change. A third thing had to happen. And that third thing was the people there had to pay attention. Had to be open. Open to what God was doing. The scripture says that His words just pierce through. And it's a compound word there. And it means to go all the way through. The word got all the way through to their heart. And then they respond. They said to one another, what shall we do? It elicited a response from them. How are we going to respond to what we've heard today? We got to do something about it. We can't just sit here. And then Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So what's he telling them? He said, I've given you this many times. You were headed this way, and repentance means you did a 180, and you turned this way. You turned from your sin, and you turned to God, and their lives changed. And it literally changed human history. It's not a historian out there. I'm a history major. History buff since those days. There's not a historian out there that if, when you ask him or her honestly, give me your honest opinion, who's the most influential person in history on this planet that changed more things about this planet, that changed the direction of this planet, there's only one answer. It is the man, the Nazarene, who never traveled more than 200 miles from his home, and it's Jesus. Four questions I want to ask you based on this. Four questions. The first is God speaking. In the story that we read here, we see God all over the story. The church, the body of Jesus had been waiting. They had been praying. They had been interceding. And the Lord had promised them that the Spirit was coming. In fact, He said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. They were waiting on the Spirit of God to come. And the Spirit came. And miracles happened. They heard the gospel as the Lord did this miracle of tongues that came there, and the fire and the power that came at that time, and they changed, it just changed everything. But God was speaking. But look who he was speaking through. Yes, He was speaking through signs and wonders. That took place. We see that happening. But even in that, it took willing servants who were willing to be the mouthpiece, who were willing to give their lives and say, God, I'm putting my life in your hand. And then God spoke through them. I wonder, all those people that gathered, those Jews that gathered from literally all over the known world at that time, wherever Jews lived, they came at that time. They were there. They were there for that feast. They were there in celebration. And when we see the fulfillment of it, as the Holy Spirit come, God had promised He was going to come. And then they became the mouthpiece of Jesus. Do you reckon all those people were educated in public speaking? You reckon all of those were registered theologians or preachers or teachers? Who were these people? They came from all walks of life. They came from all skill levels. They were there from all age levels. It's not limited to any one age. From adults to children, the Lord sweeps in the story. Is God speaking? Yeah. Has He quit speaking? Is He speaking to you? It's easy to talk about God speaking to somebody else. Because we always want God to speak. God, if you just speak to so-and-so over here, it'd change my life. There's not a married couple in the world who hadn't prayed that prayer. Can I get a witness on that? I knew I could trick you into raising your hand, Tommy. Oh, Lord, if you just change so-and-so, my life would be so different. And what is the Lord saying back to us when we're praying that prayer? He's saying, physician, heal thyself. He's coming back and saying, hey, don't start praying about me changing somebody else until you're willing to change. So I'm trying to remember the evangelist's name, back turn of the, not this last century, but the century before. He was preaching at this church at a revival meeting. They expected him to have lightning in a can, you know. And he said, I'm going to give you the key to revival here. How to see the church revived. And he's standing up on the platform. He got him a piece of chalk. And he got down on his knees. He said, I'm going to show you the key to revival. I'm going to show you how it happened. How God will come in a place and with a people and will do a mighty work. And they're like, man, everybody's on the edge of their seat. They didn't want to hear that. Man, I hadn't heard this kind of before. So he gets down on his hands and knees and he draws a big chalk circle. He stands outside of it. And then with one fell swoop, he just falls down and lays prostrate, flat on his face, in the middle of that circle. And he screams out, Lord, revive everything in this circle. God speaks. But every time He speaks, it starts with, am I going to listen to what He said? Second question. When's the last time you heard God speak? In the story, we see where God's speaking, Peter hears God speaking, and he's speaking out. Peter's just becoming a conduit of what God is saying through him. Gets into the Word that way. But the people hear him too. And they can hear what he's saying. I don't know if he preached this message. He probably preached it in Greek. Maybe Aramaic. I don't know. Probably not Hebrew. Probably Aramaic. That'd be my best guess. But then wonder how many people there. It took a miracle for them to even hear what he was saying. But they all heard. They heard every detail of it. When's the last time you heard God speak? Be careful. Don't say, God doesn't speak to me. That's a lie. That's not true. Because God is speaking to you. Question is, are you listening? Which brings us to the third question. What's he saying? What's he saying? Well, here are the people in this story on the day of Pentecost. Here they are gathered. Here's this fisherman up there. Now, here's Peter, Simon Peter, the rock. You know, he's on a rock at one time, and on the other time, he's sticking his foot in his big rock mouth. You know, he does that over and over again. I mean, he's stumbling over. He's rough. He's rough around the edges. You know, I'll never deny you, Jesus. And then what does he do? He denies, and it's not some big old strapping Roman soldier that he denies Jesus to. Who does he deny Jesus to? A little servant girl. Do you see the irony of that? But here's a man that's been changed. He's on fire. His life has been changed. He's never the same after Jesus does his work in his life. He's never the same. So, the people are pierced. This Bible says they are pierced through to the heart. But they want clarification. They're saying, well, what do we do now? What do we do now? They're wanting to clarify. Well, what exactly has been said? Tell me what I need to do. What's God saying to you right now? And don't tell me he's not speaking to you. And if you say to me, well, I'm really not hearing God right now, there needs to be some time spent with the Lord so you can figure out what he's saying to you. Because he's saying something to you about your life. May not be what you want to hear. Maybe stuff that hurts. But these people were ready. They were ready for God to come and move. What's he saying? Well, that day, hear what he says. Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing everybody needs to hear, isn't it? A changed life. So I ask you today, do you know that you know that you know that you know that you belong to Jesus? There's a couple of you in the room that probably deal with death as much as I do. But most of you don't. It's a regular commodity of my life. And so I'm always looking at people and wondering, you know, how long? How long? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready for the next thing that's happening in the world? Are you ready? And I've said to you, and I'll probably get into this a little bit more next week in my message, but are you ready for all the things that are happening in the world right now as the body of Jesus? Because while all this stuff's going on, we live in this crooked generation. Is that an apt description of our world right now? Is it crooked? Of course it is. And it's getting more crooked by the day. I mean, in Washington, I don't think anybody there, whatever party they happen to be a part of, would know the truth if it reached up and bit them in the backside. It's just not a part of life. It's how can we fool them today? The spin that comes and all that stuff. But are we ready? I'm not a victim. And as a church, we can't sit around and act like victims of this. We're not victims, we're victors. He has given us the antidote. Because while all that crooked generation stuff is going on over here, what we see happening over here is the fact it is the greatest time in the history of mankind to share the gospel, to tell the good news to people, to love them. And it, the greatest need takes place. Let me tell you, I've been at this a long time. Been doing a long time, pastoring in several generations now. I've seen things happen in our country. I'm looking at now, and there's never been a time where there's greater heaviness than it is right now. The needs of people, the things that are going on in their life. And there's only one answer. There's only one answer that comes to that. And God is calling on us. Let me tell you, God is calling the Sycamore Church to get off their royal highness and get into the battle. And quit sitting and start becoming a part of the saving. There's a generation that's going to hell in a handbasket. And unless we get busy, it's not going to change. And that starts right where we are with every man, woman, child. Don't tell me a child can't do something. Don't tell me a young person can't do. Don't tell me you're too old or, you know, I've checked out, right? Don't tell me that. Man, I knew a lady years ago. She was in her late 80s. When she was in a wheelchair confined to home, she let her old crooked arthritic fingers do the dialing. And she'd get people on the phone and she's sharing Christ with them. She's ministering to them. One of my teachers, when I was just a kid, God put him on my heart. He taught me shop. And God put him on my heart. And I just couldn't get him off my heart. I prayed for him. And I remember I brought him one of Billy Graham's books. I didn't know. I respected my teacher. I didn't want to disrespect him to think that I was thinking things about him. But I gave him that book one day. Boy, it took everything, all the courage I could screw up to hand him that book. He got tears in his eyes. He came to know Jesus. What's God saying? Well, the first thing he always says is, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And the first rest is the rest for your soul. Is to have to know that you have Jesus in your life. The second rest is to begin to for you to grow in Him. And the third rest is for you to share that with somebody else that needs Him. They need Him right now. Fourth question, final question today is, am I doing what He says? What do the people in the story do? Peter said, here it is. We clarified, this is what I'm saying. Here's a sermon in a nutshell. Repent and trust in Jesus. And then show it publicly by being baptized. And did they do that? I believe they did that. Over 3,000 were saved. And then the next paragraph, we find out that it began to happen on a daily basis. Wouldn't you like to see that in Savannah, Georgia? See how many times I flipped it? Wouldn't you like to see Savannah, Georgia flip like that? Can it happen? Can it happen in your neck of the woods? Can it happen in your life? Do you have Jesus in your life? Would there be enough evidence if you came in a courtroom to convict you? Oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. All this stuff of being in the institutionalized, you know, in the four walls and all the, you know, all patting each other on the back and all, that isn't where the work is. The work isn't in here. The work's out there. That's where they're dying and going to hell. That's where they need the love of Christ. That's where they need to see it. Somebody cares about them. Are you doing what he says? We all have a choice. What will your choice be? Going to open the altar? God spoken to you today? Hey, if you want to come at the altar, you know, we're not in a manipulation here. I used to do all those tricks. I see that hand and all that stuff. You know, come on down, that kind of stuff. Today I believe it's, here it is, take it or leave it. And let me tell you, if God's speaking to you, you might better be listening. If we establish the fact that he's speaking, then the first part of that is true. And the second part needs to be true also. What's he asking you to do? We live in the most exciting time that has ever been in history. We see prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. We see the Bible coming alive to us. Scripture after scripture after scripture. And God has prepared, I said it to you last week, God has prepared and is preparing the Sycamore Church to be part of what he's doing in these last days. Now we've got to decide if we're going to engage and be part of the plan or sit on the sideline. Let me tell you how that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen with every distraction known to man, us allowing that to get in between us and him. Our fellowship together, being a part of what he's doing, we can't allow it to happen. We must choose him. What is the Spirit of God saying to you? Everything that I said today that is not of God, let it drop to the floor. But every syllable that was his voice speaking through mine to your ear and your heart, I'm praying we'll act on it. Let's pray. The Lord, we open the altar now. We ask you to come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come fill our hearts right now. Lord, for those who have never received you in their lives, I pray, Lord, today. I pray right now that this will be the day of salvation. Lord, for those of us who need your touch, who need renewal, who need a good swift kick, Lord, I pray you'll do that right now. You'll change us. You'll change our direction. You'll do in us what only you can do. Right now, I'm praying that. Spirit of God, come. Come. Lord, I'm praying you'll stir up the gifts in us. Lord, your gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you'll stir those in us that we could be a part of knowing you and making you known in the earth. I'm praying that right now. Come, Lord. Stir us. Pierce us through to the heart right now. In Jesus' name. The altar's open. Pastors, come if you will. If we've got Jesus in our hearts, in our lives, what should be the look on our face when we go to the world? Everybody look at Gail right now. Stand up, Gail, and twirl one time so they can see the look. Go on, stand up. I want to embarrass you. See there's the look that ought to be on your face. Not some plastic grin, but, but the real joy of the Lord as we go forward. And we got a new grandbaby over here. Does anybody want to stand up and say anything about the new grandbaby? Glad Killian could be here today. Congratulations again. Bless you. Amen. All right. You know, it's getting to be cold weather. We were informed by our heat and air conditioning man, we have no heater in the back building. Yes, sir. It's going to be an expensive little ticket. We don't know how much it's going to cost. But won't you be praying about that? And as you're praying about it, do what God calls you to do in response to that prayer. We'll give you a itemized what it's going to cost when we find that out. But you never want to hear stuff like that. And I'm praying, Lord, let it be warm today. But be praying about that. 2 weeks from today, Friend Day, do not invite your friends that are involved in another church unless they need to get out of that church and they're not preaching the gospel. They're not preaching the gospel, yeah, but if it's a Bible-believing, you know, church, you know, there are plenty of people in your oikos, your sphere of influence, that need Jesus. And we're gonna have a good time here, upbeat music, we're going to share the gospel, we're going to have a great meal together, we're going to get fried chicken of some description to have with whatever sides that you bring with that, and please bring enough for you and your family and another person, okay? All right? And that's 2 weeks from today, and we're looking forward to that. But God bless you. Send you out in the name of Jesus. I've gone the whole day and hadn't said anything about Alabama's great victory yesterday. But I want you to know that I am a big man, and I can take it. So it's not been a good week for me. Dallas got beat last week, and Georgia this week, and I know some of you are real happy. Yes, sir. I love to be a Gator. No, that's the wrong song. God bless you, and thank you for these wonderful gifts. And I'll receive those kisses on the cheek from all you ladies. You guys can keep yours.